In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. It's really great to be with all of you. And as always, we like to start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many beautiful titles. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. And so, as we start off this day, Saturday, which we honor Mary in a special way, we also honor Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Let us beg Mary to pray with us, to be with us, and to encourage us so that we would give greater honor and glory to God through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. As we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite our spiritual director to be with us. What a great privilege it is to have our spiritual director to be with us. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many wonderful titles, among which would be the Paraclete. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Souls. Holy Spirit is already known as our Counselor and our Consoler. Holy Spirit is also known as our interior master or teacher. Our interior master or teacher. So let's turn to the Holy Spirit and beg the Holy Spirit to help us. As we pray, the classical prayer to the Holy Spirit. So together, let's invite the Holy Spirit to pour light into our minds and set our hearts on love, on fire with the love of God. As we say, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct your hearts of the hearts of your faithful to the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Catherine de Labouré, pray for us. St. Francis de Sales, pray for us. St. Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. St. Francis Xavier, pray for us. St. Vincent de Paul, pray for us. St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, on this Saturday, the last day in the church year, in which tomorrow we enter into the holy season of Advent, we'd like to offer special prayers for all of you. Special prayers for all of you. In the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. That's right, in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. By far, the greatest of all prayers is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So I'd like to place all of you and your intentions on the altar in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And among the many intentions, I'd like to pray for all of us that we would be open and that we'd be docile to the inner workings of the Holy Spirit. That's right, that we would be open and docile to the workings of the Holy Spirit. Our sanctification depends in large part upon the workings of the Holy Spirit. This could be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Let's pray often that prayer today. Because the quickest, easiest, most secure, efficacious pathway to Christ is through Mary. The next prayer would be, I'd like to pray in a special way, for all of us that we would keep working on our ongoing formation. That's right. Working on our ongoing formation. It's called permanent formation. So the more we can get to know God, the more we'll be able to give God to others. Then my last intention will be, I'd like to pray in a special way to pray in a special way, my friends, for the conversion of sinners, but especially I'd like to pray in a special way for the conversion of deathbed sinners. Those individuals that will be dying today, and many of those who are possibly not in the state of grace, Let's pray that God's infinite mercy and grace will touch their hearts and they will open up to God's infinite love. For that reason, we pray the Hail Mary. We say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So, may God bless all of you today. And Saturday, of course, is a day in which we honor Mary. We honor Mary. Let's try to honor Mary in a special way. One way in which I would strongly suggest would be for all of us to honor Mary in a special way through her sacramentals. The three most famous sacramentals of Mary would be the Holy Rosary, the Scapular, and the Miraculous Medal. Given that tonight and tomorrow we enter into the new church year, with the season of Advent, we will obviously not be celebrating the feast day of the Miraculous Medal, but the 27th of November is the feast day of the Miraculous Medal. So I invite all of you. Tomorrow I'm going to be giving my second lecture on my new book, The Compendium, The Marian Compendium. Among the many topics that I'll be addressing, I'd like to talk to the people about the Miraculous Medal. Because the Miraculous Medal is so rich in, it's so rich in catechetical content. It's so rich in catechetical content. So if you look at the front side and the back side, there is just, I think, one of the most best catechetical contents you have in the church. So getting to know this Miraculous Medal, getting to know the meaning of the different symbols is a great way in which we can promote this Marian devotion, which I'm trying to do in my course, promote Marian doctrine and Marian devotion. Marian doctrine and Marian devotion. So that would be my Marian pitch today. If you don't have the Miraculous Medal, try to get a Miraculous Medal. I would suggest even buy a lot of Miraculous Medals and imitation of St. Maximilian Kolbe to give out, to give as a gift. To give as a gift the Miraculous Medal. The Miraculous Medal. In that prayer, there are many beautiful prayers to Mary, but one of the short prayers that I've always recommended is actually inscribed around the Miraculous Medal. And it was first written in French because Our Lady appeared to St. Catherine Labouré in Paris in Rue de Bac in 1830, and she spoke French to Mary. She spoke Portuguese to the children of Fatima. She spoke in Patois French to St. Bernadette. She spoke in Nahuel to Juan Diego. Mary's able to adapt herself according to the culture and the situation in which we find ourselves. That prayer is, O Mary, conceive without sin. O Mary, conceive without sin. Pray for us who have recourse to Thee. O Mary, conceive without sin. Pray for us who have recourse to Thee. O Mary, conceive without sin. Pray for us who have recourse to Thee. So, the topic I'd like to address today is the following. We've arrived at the Book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 1 to 7, in which we have a presentation, a symbolic depiction of heaven. So I'd like to talk today to you about heaven. That's right. Let's talk about heaven. Let's start, my friends, in this conversation about heaven. Let's talk about what is the primary goal of our life on earth. This is outlined in the first consideration that we have in the spiritual exercises, and it's called Principle and Foundation. It's called Principle and Foundation. Principle and Foundation. We are created, my friends, to praise God to reverence God, to serve God, and by means of that, to save our souls. This is Principle and Foundation. We are called, my friends, once again, to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God, and by means of that, to save our mortal souls. You might summarize that in two ideas: the praise and glory and worship of the Blessed Trinity. That will come about most specifically. It'll come about most specifically by sanctifying and saving our souls and trying to sanctify and save other souls. So we want to save souls, but start by working on the salvation of our own souls. That's why I'm really promoting Marian devotion, because I really believe if we really have this great love for Mary, she'll bring us to the heart of Christ, and Christ will bring us to the Eternal Father. Next point before we talk about the reality of heaven. It's very interesting, the whole dynamic of the spiritual exercise of St. Ignatius. Getting to heaven is our goal. When I give the spiritual exercises, I always speak about our major obstacle or detour or barrier. On the highway to heaven, is the reality of sin. That's right, the reality of sin. We're conceived in sin, we're born in sin, we are sinners, we struggle against sin, and we die as sinners. The last words of St. Louis de Montfort were, "Thanks be to God, I can no longer sin anymore." So we're struggling sinners. We fall, but we have to try to get up. We should fall, but rise. We should fall, but rise. Fall, but rise. Father Lanteri speaks about the nunc chepi, to start again. So on this day in which we honor Mary, let's turn to Mary, talk to her as friends, and pray that prayer, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. And let's turn to Mary and beg Mary to help us to remove the major obstacle in our lives. In other words, the greatest of our sins, what is our major obstacle? What is our kryptonite? Let's ask Mary to help us to, with her grace, with God's grace, with her prayers, to be able to remove that. So that we'll be able to live out holy indifference. We're not attached to sin. We're not attached to person, place, or thing. We, like Mary, we will have our hearts set on God. As Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be given to us besides. All right, so sin is our major obstacle. And we have to struggle against it until the Lord calls us from this life to the next. The next point is we prepare to talk about what is heaven like. Is to come to an acute awareness of how short life really is. That's right. How short, how ephemeral, how transitory, how fleeting is the human situation. How short life really is. How short life really is. The Word of God speaks about this very often. The mystical poetry of the Bible would be the Psalms. How beautiful, uplifting the Psalms are. How challenging they are at times. One of the Psalms says, our life is like the flower of the field. which rises its head in the morning and withers and dies as the sun goes down. I love that image, don't you? Our life is like the lily of the fields. Like the lily of the fields. In which the flower rises its head in the morning and withers and dies as the sun goes down. Our life is like a puff of smoke. St. James uses that image. And I like what St. Augustine says. St. Augustine says that our life in comparison, our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye. I repeat, our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye. It's a mere blink of the eye. It's a mere blink of the eye. So, my friends, life is short. And let's do all we possibly can to make it to heaven. So, the next part of our conversation will be, I'd like to try to explain what is eternity. And I'd like to start off with two saints couple of saints that have had a mere glimpse of heaven. We really cannot conjure up in our mind, create in our mind what heaven is, because God is infinite, has no boundaries, whereas we are finite with limitations. We are temporal beings, at least in our body. God is eternal. However, we must strive to do all we possibly can to understand what heaven is. And that's why we go from prose to poetry, because the poet can express by certain images that the prose writer cannot. St. Paul says this, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the mind of man the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love him. Eye has not seen, ear is not heard, nor is it entered into the mind of man the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love him. Eye has not seen, ear is not heard, nor is it entered into the mind of man the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love him. Paul says, therefore, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered the mind of man the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love him. So, even the greatest images that we can have in our life, we're going to they're going to fall far short of the reality of heaven. Because once again, we as finite, temporal, limited beings, trying to express the infinite, the eternal, which is God Himself, obviously we're going to fall far short. But we have to try. Okay, Saint Francis of Assisi, he was given the grace to hear just one note of the melody of heaven. Just one note. And the melodious note of just one note was so beautiful that he said if he were to hear, he were to have heard one more note, then he would have died because of the melodious beauty of one more note. Can you imagine the whole concert? Just one note was so beautiful that he was enthralled and said he would have died. One more note. That's mind-boggling, isn't it? Then it was St. Catherine of Siena was given. So that was something that was heard. St. Catherine of Siena was able to see the mere hand of Christ. She was captivated, enthralled by the beauty of simply the hand of Christ that she, like St. Francis, probably would have seen anymore. She would have died. The mere beauty of the hand of Christ. I'm saying this, my friends, so that we can whet our appetite and be motivated. And to be motivated to really long for heaven. So I mentioned the goal of our existence is heaven. Our major obstacle is sin. The shortness of life. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. All these ideas I'm trying to communicate to you has as its purpose to create within our hearts a longing, a desire to get to heaven. Teresa of Avila said, if we would think about heaven, we'd be able to carry the heaviest crosses. She says, our life is like one night in a lousy hotel. St. Teresa of Avila. Our life is like one life in a mala taverna, a lousy tavern, or one night in a lousy hotel. Not a five-star hotel, but a one-star hotel. With crickets and cockroaches and the cholos playing their band right next to you. But that night disappears and the sun comes out. It's over. It's over. So we should have a real longing for heaven. A real longing. Real longing for heaven. Psalm 41, verse 1. As the deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. St. Augustine puts it this way. O God, you have created our hearts for thee, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. O God, you have created our hearts for thee, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. Well, God, you have created our hearts for thee, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. A real longing for heaven. I present many different scenarios to motivate us. My friends, we're never going to do anything great if we don't have great ideals and great motivations. When I'm speaking to parents and children, I like to use this scenario as a trampoline or a jumping board for us to want to jump on the trampoline and pass through the skies. Especially those who live in Southern California, maybe they live in Orlando, would understand this better, but all of us can understand it. Do you have a you have a 10-year-old son who is causing you many problems? He's fighting with his siblings. His room is in total disorder, disarray. His grades have plummeted. He doesn't understand the word obey. He gets in fights. So one day you sit down with him and say, you know, this is Sunday evening. If you really change your conduct next Saturday, but you got to change, I will take you to Disneyland and you'll be able to spend the whole day in Disneyland and you'll be able to do all the rides you want. You'll be able to go to the restaurant you want. And I'll even give you $100 to buy whatever you want. $100. This little kid, call him Johnny Boy, this little kid, and everything on planet Earth, he really has gone to Disneyland two or three times. That's what he likes most. He doesn't like to go to school. He doesn't really seem to get along well with his brother and sister. He doesn't like to make his bed. And some of the neighboring kids, he gets in fights with them. He doesn't like to listen to the teacher. Doesn't even like to comb his hair or brush his teeth. Little kid is almost a monster. This is called the effects of original sin, right? So you make that bet to him. So, what happens is, people who do not believe in miracles are going to see a miracle. This little monster of a 10-year-old kid, right away, he makes his bed, he polishes his shoes, he puts his belongings in their proper place. He goes to the bathroom, he combs his hair, he brushes his teeth. He asks his little brother if he could help him with his math homework. He applies himself diligently to his studies. He's kind to his older sister. When his parents tell him to do something, he's there in no time. The kids on the block, he smiles at them and he's willing to help them up. The school becomes the teacher's pet. He even kneels down to say his prayers at night. You who have been cynical, somewhat skeptical about miracles, you have just seen one before your eyes in these next few days. This kid, who's been the worst kid on the block, starting in your own home, was radically transformed. Because he had a goal. And his goal was to go to Disney. And after those 6 days, you take him to Disney. And he goes on all the rides he wants. He spends the $100 that you gave to him. He goes and eats 4 hot dogs because he likes hot dogs. And it was the day of his life. And after he's coming back with this huge clown smile on his face, he says, "You know, Mom, I want to go to Disney again." And you tell him, "Okay, we'll go to Disney in another month and a half, but you have to behave." So for the next month and a half, this little kid, he's getting straight A's. He's the best little brother in the world. His house is spotless. His house is spotless. And there's a radical transformation. This is only on a human level. This is called the principle of motivation. Only on a human level. This is called the principle, my friends, the principle of motivation. That's right. The principle of motivation. So we should be even more strongly motivated to make it to heaven. We should be even more strongly motivated to make it to heaven. If Disney is a good, great place to be, how much more will heaven be? So I'm trying to motivate us to do all we possibly can to make it to heaven. In the book of Revelation says, those who have the name of God written on their foreheads will be saved. Let's ask Mary to get a pen and to write on our foreheads, love of God. What do you think? Mary to write on our forehead, love of God. Another image that was given this past week of heaven is to have our names written in the book of life. Having the name of God written on our foreheads and our names written in the book of life. Those are two images. Our names written on our forehead and our names written in the book of life. Amen. All of these things I'm saying to you is I'm trying to motivate all of us, my friends, myself included, trying to motivate all of us, giving you principles of motivation. So that we can make it to heaven. And then Jesus says, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? gospel today, Jesus says, be vigilant. He says, be vigilant. Don't get drunk. Don't get sluggish by gluttony. It's easier said than done because of Thanksgiving, right? But we shouldn't be giving in to our senses, giving in to sensuality, giving in to gluttony, giving in to drinking. And then we're taking unawares, Jesus says, he'll come like a thief in the night. Come like a thief in the night. Come like a thief in the night. I heard, I'd like to tell you another story of motivation, and let's pray for each other that we get to heaven. One of the Norbertine priests was giving a homily. I heard one of his homilies online. It was a really good homily. And the priest told this story, and once again, this is a motivational story to see how people can be motivated on a human level and how we should be motivated on a supernatural level. On the supernatural level. And it's this. There was a young man who, when he was in junior high, he was a good student. And he studied Spanish and he was able to pass, but didn't really motivate him, so he was not really motivated. Went to high school, another 4 years of Spanish. And his grades were very good. His Spanish was okay, maybe a C, maybe a C+. He even went to college. Once again, he studied Spanish. So he had been studying Spanish for probably close to 10 years. But he never really learned it that well. So he graduated, got his degree, maybe it was even a master's. And he's working in this company, and he had a pretty good position. And then there was a young secretary that came to work in the company. And this young secretary came from either South America or maybe even Mexico. And this young woman was very, very, very beautiful. This man, same man, muy guapa, muy guapa. Very, very, very beautiful. Very beautiful. But this young man, who was working, and she was his secretary, even though he had studied 10 years of Spanish, his Spanish was still very poor. It's interesting. Within 1 month, this man learned a pretty good Spanish. You know why? Because he wanted to gain the affection, the attention, and maybe one day the love of this beautiful Hispanic woman who spoke no English whatsoever. You see, my friends, it's the proverbial carrot before the donkey. It's a proverbial carrot before the donkey. And on a pastoral level, I had studied French in high school and college, a little bit of Greek. Then I learned Italian when I was in Italy. But once I was ordained a deacon, my rector major, who was from Argentina, he wanted me to go to Buenos Aires, to Argentina, to work as a young priest. Once he told me, once I was aware that Argentina was going to be my destination, my first assignment as a priest, I studied much more diligently French and even the Italian. And the reason was because I was keenly aware of the fact that as a priest, our basic ministry is that of what is called the ministry of the word, preaching in daily masses, preaching in Sunday masses, teaching conferences to adults, preaching and teaching, catechizing the young. So, if I did not know how to communicate in the language of the people, I could have the best theological, philosophical, literary formation in the world, but it's not worth a hill of beans if I can't communicate the language. Somewhat like when I go to parishes or areas to preach or teach, almost always there's problems I have with microphones. Undoubtedly, I know that that's going to be a problem. So I'm already ready that the microphones are probably going to go out. It's going to be really loud. It's going to burst the eardrums of the people. Or I'll be talking, and then the battery will run low, and then the micro will run out of gas. I mean, that's par for the course. But the point is taken that if someone is preaching and teaching in a church and the sound system is not working, he could be more eloquent than Shakespeare and Fulton Sheen put together, and it's still not going to reach the people. So, I haven't arrived at describing what heaven is. So my presentation today has basically been expounded upon the principle of motivation. The principle of motivation. We have to be motivated to do anything, but especially motivated to get to heaven. There's a story in the life of John Bosco and Dominic Savio, which Dominic Savio, talking with John Bosco, he was bantering with John Bosco, and he basically asked John Bosco, what do you think gave me the greatest joy in my life? I think it was even at the hour of his death. I think there might be two different stories, but what really gave Dominic Savio the great joy? And Bosco said, well, probably your prayer life. Fine, but something else. Well, maybe your apostolic zeal, bringing people to Christ. Yeah, something else. Well, maybe your penances. You practice a lot of penances for the conversion of sinners. Yes, but something else. And John Bosco ran out of ran out of ideas, and he said, well, Dominic, what? And Dominic Savio said, the presence of Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary, she gave me the greatest joy. She's the one that helped me to make it to heaven through her powerful intercession. There at the hour of my death, that was what gave me most motivation, Mary's powerful presence. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So, my friends, if we want to get to heaven, we should long for heaven. And as the deer yearns for the running stream, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. May God bless all of you. And as we start this new church year, through the prayers of Mary, let us long for heaven. Let's beg Mary, who is our life, our sweetness, and our hope, to make it safely home to heaven. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.